The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Right now, though, I want to talk about this development or proposed development in Dundrum, County Dublin. It's on the site of the Dundrum shopping centre, the old shopping centre, not the big, huge new thing. Anyway, there's been over 700 objections to the 16-storey development. One of those objecting, Anne Coughlan. She's chair of Imagine Dundrum and a local councillor. Anne, what's the problem with this development?
Well, I suppose the first thing I'd say is that this is not just any development. We hear a lot about strategic housing developments in Dublin, but this is a pretty unique one. It's not just building apartments, but it in fact is regenerating a 400-year-old village. So what the developers are doing is taking on that responsibility. And the problem is there's a multifold, I suppose. First of all, there's the way that the main street of the village has been treated in the planning application in a way that fails to respect the historic character and scale and overall streetscape of the village with five-storey buildings. The plan to demolish several heritage buildings on the main street, even though they're designated as an architectural conservation area. What the council has identified as the lack of uses, civic, community, culture, facilities and services on the site. Employment opportunities, office accommodation and so on as required by planning, and then the overall height and density and massing and sheer overbearing nature of the development. So when you take all of those factors into account, this planning application fails on every front to deliver anything that will serve the future of the people of Dundrum.
On that final point about the overbearing nature of the proposed development, you know, some people now, they'll accuse you of NIMBYism, you know, not in my backyard, that we need housing built, but people don't want it built beside them, or we need high density developments built, but nobody wants it beside them. Like, what do you say? What's your response to that charge?
Well, I'd say that, you know, it would be a pity if government were ever to listen to those voices, because I think they're not taking account of the genuine and well-founded concerns of local people. For example, we know for a fact, because it's been well established in reports, that very high-rise apartment buildings cost more. They become unaffordable by virtue of their height. But apart from that, in terms of livability and genuine communities, there's a huge body of research now that shows that high-rise buildings are not human-scale living, and that five, six, seven stories is about the limit in terms of the kind of level of height where people can have neighbourliness, community and so on. And that has been borne out by our own planners who have looked at all the research in that area. So, I mean, people who say, you know, this is about not in my backyard, they're overlooking some of those concerns, and particularly the affordability issue. The higher you go, the less affordable these units are. And the indicative prices in Dundrum, for example, which Hammerson Allianz have put out into the public domain, are €788,000 for a three-bed apartment, €567,000 for a two-bed apartment. I mean, who in Dundrum is going to be able to afford
Do you suspect if they build a five-storey block that those prices would be cheaper?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's well established. The Institute of Chartered Surveyors produced a very well-researched report recently which showed that the higher you go, the more expensive it gets, and the only people who can afford to build at that height are the investment funds, and they can hold on then to rent the entire building or sell to an investment fund and sell on. You know?
Let me introduce Carl Dieter, the financial advisor. Carl, do you think this is NIMBYism?
Well, it kind of has the hallmarks of a lot of it, but I mean, like inside every standard not in my backyard promoter, you'll see that there's usually somewhere where they say, well, yes, you know, we would agree if it was this, because they know their position ultimately is irrational, so they address it in reasonable sounding logic, which is one of the key ways to get that argument across. What you'll know, though, is that the number of objections, if the building is, say, 10 stories or 15 stories, is going to be utterly consistent. So it's always whatever is less than the proposal, because change worries a lot of people. I get that. I understand it. My own home is going to be surrounded by a strategic housing development. I'm very much affected by this. It's something that's very real to me. What I would say, though, you know, if you talk about things like prices, 800,000 for a 3-bed, 500,000 for a 2-bed. Well, look at Dundrum prices anyway. A 3-bed house is more than a million. I mean, who's going to afford that? So, like, we can't get into this whole affordability piece because that's very relative. But I would also say that this myth, and it is a myth because repeating something doesn't make it a fact, that it's somehow uneconomic to build higher, that's just not true. Because if that was the case, why would anyone go out and spend loads of money to waste that capital on something that obviously didn't make sense? And you can certainly have a lot of community and tall buildings. This is well established, well seen in the USA, well seen in many countries. There's internal amenity, there's roof gardens, gyms, there's all manner of way to create what is known as a kind of a vertical amenity. Now, you have to think about it. You can't just stack houses on top of each other, but there are certainly ways to do all of these things. And we see it working in countless cities all around the world. And that's a really, really important thing. You see, the whole agenda here is to just stop one, because you stop one building, you stop all 900. But you see, the incumbent classes, the people who own homes, who have everything, they're always in favor of this. And like I said, they dress it up well. I talk on behalf of the incinerated classes, of the locked out classes, the people who can't obtain homes because those homes don't exist. And it's important to understand that it is vested interest quite often that prevents those houses from existing. I just want a country where there are homes there possible to be bought by someone, even if the price is extortionate, because an extortionate priced house is better than a non-extortionate, non-existent house.
And I mean, you'd have to accept if it was five stories, whatever about the price of the unit, there would be far fewer units. So like, are you locking out some of the so-called incinerated classes that Carol talks about?
Well, I would probably challenge virtually everything that Carl has said there on so many grounds.
Okay.
But in terms of this particular development, what I can say to you without fear of contradiction is that our own professional planners, the Dunleary Rathdown County Council planners, in a 126-page report, have strongly recommended to On Board Planála that the development should not be passed. And they have done that on the basis of a multiplicity of issues and concerns, of which height and density is one. And the other one is the lack of civic spaces, cultural spaces, employment opportunities, entertainment and so on. Because a living neighbourhood is so much more than apartments, and there's not much point in stacking them high and not providing the services that people
now, in fairness, Carl, that's word for word what Carl said now. He acknowledged that you can't just stack them one on top of the other. You have to plan and you have to put in those services.
But could I take up the point about roof gardens and high-level amenities? I mean, this is something that we're seeing routinely now in strategic housing development applications, which come before On Board Planála. And while the planning laws require a certain level of community space for the residents, more and more this has been provided by means of roof level community gardens and restricting the space on the ground as a result. And if you like, getting away with that. I would like to ask anyone who has a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old how they would feel about going up to the 10th floor or the 12th floor of a morning for their child to play up there. And what that's like. And apart from the fact that most apartments are securely locked away from other apartments on the site and you can't access them. So I think we have to be reasonable about what does it make and what does it take to make for a livable apartment. I think we're not having that conversation. Well, and there's too much influence by the developers.
I want to put that point to Carol. Carol, I mean, you heard that Anne's having none of this idea that roof gardens up on the 12th or 15th or 20th floor of a building are anything like the type of public amenity that a community needs.
I'm not sure where that comes from. There's millions of people living in Tokyo who would disagree. Look, like, until you get used to something, it's like saying we should live in mud huts because we're not used to living in brick. And then we get used to brick, and therefore you shouldn't be getting used to living in a taller building. If you're bound by the past, then there is no future. What I'm telling you is I've been on rooftop terraces that are very safe, very wonderful, very beautiful. When I lived in Chicago, there was lots of them, and they're very well maintained, and they're a wonderful piece of amenity with beautiful views of the skyline and all these great things. And, you know, fine, you don't have a backyard the way many of the multi-million euro houses of the people who are complaining about this have, but you do have that. And I think that's a decent trade-off.
And the broader point Carl is making, and he made it earlier as well, I mean, these types of developments, they do exist all over the world. It's kind of remarkable to think that all of these cities around the planet have gotten it so wrong, and we're going to get it right with low-density housing.
Well, I suppose I could quote the very renowned Dutch architect Jan Gehl, David Sim, another such, and one of our own very well-renowned architects, John Dobbin. All of these people have begun to talk about what they call the missing middle. In cities all over the United States, I can tell you because I've read the research, architects, planners and developers are starting to recognize that they must move away from high-rise vertical sprawl and start to respond to the human need for human scale living. And they are starting to talk about that concept of the missing middle. And you will find that happening. Take up the architecture journals, the planning journals, speak to planners internationally, and they will tell you that that is the case, that people in the professions are beginning to recognize what people want. And that's at the heart of this. Mm. You know, there have been no conversations in Ireland with people about what they want. You know, I think it's fine for Carl to say, you know, this works here, this works there, and it may well work in other places culturally. But why is everything got to be determined by what the developers and the investors say is good for us? Why cannot the planners, the developers, the investors speak to us, speak to the people, speak to the communities? And in terms of this particular development in Dundrum, if I can bring us back to that.
Yeah.
For the past 6 years, the group that I'm involved with, Imagine Dundrum, we've worked diligently, we've worked hard with the local community, we've reached out to the developer, we've put forward ideas, suggestions, we've consulted with people about the needs of older people, of children in the village and so on. We've offered to engage, we've offered them that the community would engage, and they turned away their face. And isn't it really wrong with the planning system that a developer like Hammerson & Allianz can bring forward plans for the future of a village and a community without ever engaging with the people?
Yeah.
If there's something wrong with the planning system, then I have to say
you're having your say now, though, Anne, aren't you? And our planning system allows you to submit objections, and in all likelihood, you know, some of those objections will be upheld, some will be rejected. I mean, I don't think you can suggest our planning system allows developers ride roughshod over the local people, does it?
You make the point that we have a chance to have our say now at the end of a process, but we have our chance to have our say only in the form of objections. Wouldn't it be so much better if that engagement was a genuine dialogue with local communities as to what they want and what they need? It happens in other places. I mean, Carl will be very familiar with this, that in other countries, the planning requirements to engage with the community are much more stronger than in the case of Ireland. And it could be a win-win for both the developers.
Right. Well, listen, maybe we'll get both of you back to talk about what our planning system could look like, as well as what Dundrum Village could look like. Anne Coughlan is the chair of Imagine Dundrum and a local councillor, and Carl Dieter is a financial analyst. I think this is so wrong, says one listener. Think of the families during lockdown with no garden. Shocking ideas. This is Ireland, not Chicago. Somebody else, though, says, I live in Copenhagen and my kids' playground is on top of a 10-storey car park, and it's amazing. All of my neighbours have rooftop gardens on their buildings and they love it. Somebody else, Andrew, says, what world are these planners living in? Dundrum has the Lewis. It is Dundrum Shopping Centre. It's beside the M50. It is perfect for development, and the old shopping centre is an eyesore. But one listener disagrees. Carl is acting like a cheerleader for private developers and vulture funds. I'm not sure he's really concerned about affordability for ordinary folks. 53106, keep your views coming.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.